Hello, hello, and welcome to the Velvet Studio. Sorry, I couldn't see what the little line was on the thing there. And we are... yes, I have Sebastian in the room, and joining us in the other room right now is Wanda and Shade. How are you, ladies?
Hi.
Hi, great. Luke. Great,
it's
thanks.
Great to be back here.
I'm so glad.
Some of my favourite peeps.
Absolutely. And this promises to be a very exciting show in many ways.
Fiery.
You're biased. You say that every week.
It's true. But it's good to be excited about your own show. It's
absolutely,
it's thrilling. It's exciting. And Wanda's excited and waving her arms in an excited fashion.
It makes me think of Clone High, where every episode is a very special episode.
I just wave
this
my
is
arms.
A very special episode.
Yeah.
This is okay, fine. You're clearly not as convinced that this
I'm
is a special
I'm excited.
Episode.
I have a lot to say about it.
There's generations of things to discuss.
Here. Absolutely.
Ooh.
I have a lot of my own personal stories for this, too.
So, Shade, what are we discussing today?
We're talking about age differences in couples.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that kind of thing. Or just, you know.
Hookups or relationships.
Or relationships.
Or maybe the difference between.
Or maybe the difference between.
We're talking about intergenerational relationships.
That's right.
We're going to talk about things that are, let's take a decade as our starting
point.
Well,
actually, before we do, definition of terms, great place to start. Sebastian.
Yes?
What is, how long is a generation?
Oh man, there's demographers.
So this is why I asked him.
Demographers have pointed out there's one generation that's only 5 years, for example.
Which one's that?
It's known as Generation Catalano.
And
it
rolls off the tongue.
Cuddle what?
Catalano.
Wow. Well, tell us about this.
I think there's a film about that.
I want to hear about this.
It's a five-year gap between Generation X and the Millennials.
Oh.
And sometimes they get lumped in with the Millennials, and sometimes they get lumped in with Generation X. And the only time when demographers separate a generation off is when there are huge differences in values and how you approach technology, how you approach society, what kinds of things you care about, what kinds of entertainment do you seek out, that sort of thing. Generation Catalano is, I think, 77 to 81 are the birth years.
Okay.
And it's Catalano because of Jordan Catalano from My So-Called Life, which is a TV show in the early 90s that kind of defined this generation.
Exactly, that's right.
Yeah.
This is why I'm so happy Sebastian is here. We need to have him in every
So what happened was first there was a generation is usually...
Somebody's smart.
It's usually about 10 to 15 years. And it just happens normally that over time there's sort of a rollover in values. There's a there's a swing between conservative and liberal. There's the articles that now that I'm looking straight at you, there's the articles that I sent you last week about beards.
Yes, we are at peak beard.
There's a beard swing that takes two generations to happen.
Yes.
So you have beards. Usually following beards, there'll be a period of mustaches and
sideburns.
Oh my god, I've gone through this twice now already.
And then after that, it'll be clean shaven again.
You would have.
After clean shaven comes scruff, and it just it cycles. Anyway,
a vicious cycle.
Normally every 10 to 15 years, people will have different values from the generation before to the point where they sort of exaggerate that. And it's usually these things are continuous. It's a continuity. It's not a crisp difference. But eventually people start to try to be different from the previous generation. And that's when things get a little bit more distinct.
Right.
Generation Catalano was a normal generational turnover in the process of happening. And then the internet happened.
Yes.
And because Generation Catalano are old enough that they remember the world before the internet, but young enough that they grew up with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. That would be me.
So they have a very peculiar relationship. They're like millennials. They're capable. They're very engaged with social media and that sort of thing, but like Generation X, they're capable of putting the phone down when people are speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I still
which
can.
Is really great. Which is really great. I'm seeing a big generational change and differences in the last couple of years, particularly now that I'm heading into my late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I see a totally different thing. I mean, like I was brought up Happyville, you know?
What's Happyville?
Happyville was when your parents were both married, and mom was at home after work, and everything was everything was perfect, and you know what? Everything was just Pleasantville. Yeah. We lived in Pleasantville.
And if it wasn't, then people worked hard to make it look
absolutely
that way.
Absolutely, and you know, sure. I remember the first friends of mine of parents getting divorced, and we were like, shame.
Yeah, no, it was really odd growing up, like, seeing a single parent. Like, it was really, like, unusual, even to me. Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of generations, this is exactly the sort of thing that kind of falls into this, the idea that over time, things change in how people in different age clusters tend to have similar worldviews that are sometimes challenging across generations. They may not understand one another in certain ways.
Absolutely.
So, like, one of the biggest differences is how people view privacy. So, baby boomers and echo boomers have a very strict sense of privacy. They have a very strong sense of home versus public.
I guess I'm an echo boomer.
You might actually be first wave Generation X, like right at the front,
right on the
or
edge.
A transition.
Yeah, I'm a transition. Yeah. I'll tell you.
Generation X has a public life, and they wanted to break down the public private sphere, and they wanted things to be a little bit more casual, but they still understood the importance of, like, there's a time when you wear a suit. There's a time when you wear your flannels.
Absolutely.
It's okay. They they have different places, you know, different things for different things. Mm-hmm. Whereas the millennials tend to try to just break all that down, that it's considered inauthentic if you're not the same person in all spaces.
In all spaces. And it's strange, you know, as I've gotten older and now I'm entering my generation, I don't care anymore. it's really kind of a freeing place to be, except there are certain things that kind of trigger things off. And that's, I guess, what we're talking about today. I told you guys, I, you know, as a younger woman, I definitely had experiences with older men. And now that I'm a woman who's old enough to be the mother of one of myself at that age, I find certain things, you know, in excess of a decade, I start to question the motives there, and then I start to have a little bit of trouble there. So
you have some really strong feelings about this.
I have some very strong feelings about
she does.
But I didn't have those same strong feelings when I was 25 or 20. And now, as a woman who's almost 50, I'm like,
what is it that bothers you so much about it?
I hate old men using young girls to make themselves feel better about themselves. If that guy can help her along the way grow as a human being and stuff, I think that does happen. But more than often, I see people come into my store and I'm like, are you kidding, buddy? Really? Mm-hmm. And he tells me, I'm 50 and I'm dating a 25-year-old. Aren't I cool? And I don't know how to respond with that. I actually talked to you about it this week and said...
Yeah, we talked about this earlier today, too. Which I want us to talk about what we just talked about before.
Right.
Which was, like, my experience of actually my very first boyfriend ever. Like, so I lost my virginity to this man, and we were together for about 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. I was 24, and he was in his 50s. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that that was a very good and positive experience for me.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. You're wondering what his motives are. But I have to say that this man, who's still a very good friend of mine, who's still really good friends with my boyfriend now, he was very supportive, and I can tell you that I was...
Of course he's supportive. You're juicy and you're beautiful. Why wouldn't he be supportive?
But I can tell you he was so good to me. Like,
of course he's good to you. Yeah, what he should be on the ground in front of you, worshiping your feet.
Well, now you say that.
Really?
But I didn't feel, and I still don't feel like I was abused or used at all. If anything, like, I was the boss of that relationship.
Absolutely.
I can tell you, whatever I said went, he just bowed to me.
Until you have daughters the age you were at that point.
Yeah, it's true.
And that is actually starting to become
the
issue.
No, and it was a huge problem in my family. Like, I didn't speak to my family for, like, 3 years because they were so upset. They really did think that he was taking advantage of a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I was late in the dating game. Like, I was 24, for God's sake.
So, I mean...
Before I ever had sex.
But did he not give you, like, a comfortable daddy feeling underneath it all?
Oh, my God, yes.
Underneath it all.
Definitely.
So, absolutely.
I totally had a Lolita kink, okay? Let me just be... I'll be honest. It's true. I loved it.
So,
and
I'm like...
And he's very well-to-do, and, like, he lavished
me with
things.
Well, at least he had money.
He still has lots of money.
This guy... some of these guys I talk to about
are very successful. His family's very successful, and he good. Like he didn't spoil me with
money.
Can I get
his phone number? I'm just you know.
But he didn't spoil
me too.
Though.
Oh no, he wouldn't date me. I'm his age.
He wouldn't. So. It's true. He wouldn't.
Right. Exactly.
Because he's actually with someone who's my age exactly right now.
I'm sure.
And she's a doctor though. Like she's self sufficient. You know. So she is my age, but she's a doctor.
So what do you think his issues were?
I don't know. I mean,
just insecure. Could it deal with a woman his age?
I think everyone's insecure. I don't know. Like, you know what though? When I first met him, I have to say I was kind of aggressive.
Absolutely. No, as young women, we look at that and it's power. Yeah. To see some old guy at your feet, and he knows, you know what?
I was
you
very
know
flattered,
you can make him
and
jump.
He was very gentle, sweet, tender, kind.
And you were in control.
I was in control
all the time because ultimately. Can I say this on ultimately at least in my world the pussy has control.
Absolutely.
Okay? And I'm just going to say it in a nice way.
Yes, you're
as
right.
I could.
Yeah. You may or may not be referring to small cats.
Not maybe maybe
in
maybe
my
not.
Relationship Jake and his obsession for small cats.
Oh, I know.
Look, always win.
He's sweet. He's sweet. It's okay. I'd let him win with pussies
he's
too.
Adorable.
It's no problem.
Right.
He's
yeah,
cute.
But I know what you're saying cuz you but what one question that Wanda asked me was like yes, but what does that say about him? Yes, but what does that say about him? Like every time I would be like, but.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean.
What does it say about him?
But isn't it part of our.
Do you think he's a loser underneath it all?
No.
No, honestly?
I don't think so, because he's so successful. Like, you should see him at
he's
work.
He's very successful.
Yeah, like, he is at work. He's, like, super, like, in control. Like, he's not telling people off, but he's powerful. Mm-hmm. But then
we're
with
gonna,
me.
We're going to touch on some of the power balance and that conversation around how power feeds into these relationships in just a few minutes, because we're going to touch on Say Yay. This is actually your favorite song. They had
Is it called Abuse of Power?
So over the weekend, Luke and I watched Eurovision together. Right. And as a fun little activity, we were going to play Eurovision songs during this week's episode. Mm-hmm. And as a fun little activity, I ranked my top 10 favorite songs in terms of radio friendliness, not in terms of my favorite, but in terms of how much I wanted to hear them on the radio. And so I did this thing where I gave like the top 112 and then 10 and then 8 and then 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like doing full Eurovision, like giving points to different things.
Right.
And I thought everyone was going to do it.
Based
we were
on
add
demographics
it
and two?
Well, no. Just like how much I wanted to hear them on the radio.
Well, I
and then
was in
Luke,
Facebook jail, so I wasn't getting those messages.
Luke saw my thing, and he was like, okay, we'll just do that.
She saw
me. Nobody participated, just me. But anyway.
He's such a good man to get on with us here. Come
that's
on.
Fine.
On,
that's
let's
fine.
Hear what
this
you,
is the
what
most radio-friendly, though. Bare Say Yay, this is an amazing tune.
Right.
I was just, I was losing it when this was playing.
Okay.
And let's lose it while it
let's lose it.
Spain did so-so. I don't think
they did so-so, yeah.
They were in the top 10, I think, but they didn't, like, amaze and shock and
they didn't
so on
it.
So forth. The winner was the Ukraine with a very political piece, and then Australia came second, and then Russia, none of which you have selected for these things.
No, Russia was, like, number 9 or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But this is Say Yay by Bare. Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media, and we are talking about intergenerational relationships. Now,
we're very involved during this song.
Yeah, I know, we were.
Did you like the song?
We had an interesting chat. We did like this song.
Were you wasting material?
No, we were talking about stuff we couldn't ever say.
No, we were censoring ourselves.
Wanda and I are pretty filthy, especially when we're together.
Sometimes we have an issue with you two.
I know.
Before the show starts, you get in conversation, and then during the show, you're bored with it.
No, we're just bored with this.
We're saying stuff we just can't say on the air.
All right, okay.
All right. Now, before we kicked off to our first... our first song. Now, unfortunately, by the way, all the songs this week are not Canadian because it's Eurovision. And it should be intuitive that Eurovision is European unless you're Australia or Israel, in which case that makes you European too as well. Apparently.
In the past, there have been cases made for Canada participating, though, because so many Canadians have ended up in Eurovision representing other countries.
Such as Celine
because
Dion.
Because we're such a melting pot.
This is true. So anyway, just before we kicked off to the first song break there, we were discussing, you mentioned that your partner was very powerful and there may be a power imbalance.
Well, I didn't feel like there was.
No, I was just saying, and there may be a power imbalance.
Well, so we had a funny little talk.
It's more relevant to say there was a power balance, but he didn't exploit it.
No.
And it's I think one of the reasons why a lot of people are concerned with intergenerational differences.
That's what I'm saying. I don't feel exploited, but I don't know.
They're nervous about people being exploitive, about taking advantage of someone who doesn't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, or not. I guess there's a question mark of what you know at 20,
right,
and what you know at 30, and what you know at 40, and oh my God, what you know at 50. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, I have definitely gone through a few generations where I was the, you know, I couldn't help thinking to myself, well, you know, here's this older guy, and he's interested in me. And even though I didn't mean to be a snotty biatch about it or anything, in my heart of hearts, I was thinking, of course you should be lucky to be with me, old and moldy. I mean, look
at me. That's how I felt, actually.
Didn't you feel that, honestly?
When we first, like, were kind of, like, I just flirted back just for my own entertainment.
Yeah,
because I was like, oh, my God, this guy actually thinks he's got a chance. Not that I'm anything special, but the fact that I was like, he has the audacity to hit on me, and I'm, like, this young girl.
Yeah, so who does he think he is?
That's right. And I would flirt back just for my own entertainment because I thought it was hilarious. Right. But then I got to know the person. I got to know him.
And, you know, human beings are human beings. But attraction to me is like you have a choice on who you're going to you might not you can be attracted to a lot of people, but you have a choice on who you're going to actually
pursue.
Thank you very much. So, you know, I recently had a good friend of mine start dating somebody 20 plus years junior. And
this is a male who's dating a 20
plus female? Yes, of course it's a male
female.
Dating. Yeah,
well, like, I mean, I know.
Honestly,
just to be clear.
I'm going to have a, you know, and if I wanted to go to Cuba, I could get a 30-year-old guy anytime.
But, I know. They love
anyways,
you there.
They love me because, again, I have power and money.
And you're
right?
White.
And I'm white.
Sorry,
and I have power and money.
True.
Maybe I could get them out of that country. I mean, realistically, my friend's like, oh, we're in love. And I'm like, no, she's not in love with you. She's in infatuation with you because she thinks you're powerful. And when she finds out you're still just like a washed up 50-year-old guy with no job and no nothing, I don't know how powerful she'll find you. So anyways.
But you don't need an intergenerational difference for that to be true.
No, you sure don't. You're right there.
We reached out to some folks on Whisper. We're big fans of Whisper here at the Velvet Studio. Mm-hmm. And one person called Fat D, PHATD, said that, you know, I said, why, you know, he said he wouldn't date someone. And I was like, you know, why wouldn't you date an older woman? And he replied, I just wouldn't. Usually go with a decade gap. It gets hard to grow together, especially at being different points in your life. I'm wanting different things. Mm-hmm.
This person's in his 20s?
I think in his 30s.
30s. Beautifully.
Yeah, very well put.
Very intelligent. That's kind of where my head is.
Well, I mean, his username may suggest otherwise, but, you know, the point being that the point there is that you are at different points in your life. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with that sometimes with Jake. And Jake is 20 and I'm 25.
We definitely did too. I mean, I'm an old soul.
Me and you? Or?
No, no, as in me and my ex-boyfriend, whose name is Michael. I don't think he's going to care if I say that. You don't know his last name. But anyways, he and I, we definitely had... I mean, I'm an old soul, and thankfully, like, you know, we like the same kind of music because I love classic rock and all the classics. But still, it was really... He would do and say things that were very... You could tell...
There was a big...
Yeah.
There was a gap.
There was a gap. And he, or I would say and do things. He's like, I don't get it. I'm like, oh, you never heard this saying?
But
like,
did you really think you saw that you could see yourself with a long-term future with this person? Or did you kind of...
I did. I would not... I don't think I would have pursued it had I not thought so. Because, again, he was like my first and I moved in with him.
So
and you had stars in your eyes. Oh, yeah. We had a life together. We had pets. Yeah. We had a home. Like, mm-hmm. we had a... You know what I mean?
I mean, so, Wanda, if something is not... long term, does that mean it's not worth it?
Oh, no, not at all.
But
as a matter of fact, I
think
that that's a perfect thing. There's nothing wrong with having sex with somebody if that's really all that it is to you. But I guess in cases, I see these guys come into the store and chat with me, and they truly think they're going to have a long-term future with this girl half their age. And mm-hmm. I just kind of think, wow. Wow. No, that's what I think. Wow.
There is an
interesting film called Gerontophilia. I think it's an Irish film. And it looks at...
It's Canadian. Bruce LaBruce directed it.
Okay, well, apparently it's Canadian, directed by Bruce LaBruce.
I know, Sebastian.
Thanks, Sebastian.
What would we do without you?
I know, apparently...
Well, I've seen it.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Do you want to speak to it more then? Because...
I love him so. It tackles the subject of
having sexual attractions to older people.
Yeah.
So do you want to go into a bit more detail?
Well, the main character was... he worked as an orderly in a retirement home, and at first he fell in love with this one gentleman because... The interesting thing is that this guy identified as straight except when it came to older guys, at which point he was open.
So a father thing happening
the man was incredibly comfortable with his life. He was comfortable with who he was. He didn't really care about a lot of the superficial things anymore. He didn't really want to impress anyone. It's just that he was just this man living out his years in a retirement home, just doing what he did, speaking his mind, being polite about it. He wasn't crass about speaking his mind, but he was very open about what he wanted. And the younger guy was not getting that with his girlfriend, who was very... sort of young 20s, mildly two-faced. Well, you should just know what I'm thinking. Why do I have to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, he started off being attracted by the person, and then he became open to physical interactions.
Right.
And then they ran away, and stuff happened. And
so did they have a long-term relationship at the end of it?
No.
That's your question.
They went on a road trip, and the older guy forgot his meds, and he passed away.
Aww.
When you play with fire.
Oh, well.
I think were you going to watch it, though? Were you really, though?
I thought I would. I don't know. You didn't have to ruin it for the listeners, at least.
It's okay. I'm glad you told me, because I would never have watched it.
Let me tell you what happens at the
Red
Wedding. What?
Okay, sorry.
Sorry. We're talking too much.
No worries.
Although apparently the book and the show are very different.
Oh, now
they are.
As is
always the case.
Oh, you mean with...
The Red Wedding, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So a lot of this stuff about being at different stages, I mean, this is one of those places where I have challenges. And I think I've had this discussion with you before.
Probably,
Luke.
Yeah.
Because I'm a PhD student, I'm basically living more or less the same life that I was when I was 22.
Mm-hmm. How old are you now, Sebastian?
I'm in my 56.
Mid-30s. Okay.
I can't afford to live on my own. I have to have a roommate. Mm-hmm. I can't really afford to travel.
Cost of education,
absolutely. But it's not just the cost of paying for university. It's also my inability to get a full-time job because I'm busy with university.
Right.
University, especially grad school. Grad school is basically second kindergarten. A lot of grad students have like glue or glitter or crayons and stuff like that in their desk because you get bored and you need to relax. And I have glue and glitter and wine in my desk. So I mean, this is
you're over 19.
You got to come over one night.
We'll
have a blast together.
So it's people my own age have no interest in me because if you're talking about life stages, I'm at the life stage of somebody 10 years younger than myself, mm-hmm. whereas people younger than me are not interested in me because I'm 10 years older. Mm-hmm. Except now, recently, like 19 and 20 year olds have been hitting on me, and this whole discussion has actually been on my mind a lot lately about how much difference is difference and how much of it is surmountable. And something that definitely came to mind is there is this whole symbolic father figure thing that comes up in a lot of these relationships. And if somebody wants me there to like guide them and comfort them and give them all of the affection that daddy never gave them. And in the gay community, this is very common for younger mm-hmm. men to be interested mm-hmm. in older yes. men, because a lot of gay men were let down by yes. their fathers.
Yes.
We'll be talking about the culture of gay men in the next section.
Just so after this. Okay. oh, okay. In that case, then yeah, I will save this up. Actually, no, that's stupid. Well, I should just finish my thought.
Spurt it out.
I'll finish my thought. I don't mind if in their mind I am the father figure, so long as they never call me daddy. Because the moment somebody calls me daddy.
What a turn off.
I know. Because,
oh, no, that's a turn on for me. No
really?
Way. No way.
No, I have to learn.
Because it's fetishization and incest mm-hmm. all in one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jake's done
Which
that
I
to
understand because
I've given him a look.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? No, no. And I get it. I get the draw because I was young at one point, too. Now that I'm not young anymore.
I can say, for me, it was that. Like, I was looking for that kind of comfort, for sure.
Oh,
like,
I have a couple of friends who've never dated anybody.
I wanted the protection. I wanted someone to make everything okay and, like, heal my childhood wounds.
Yeah.
That's really, like, what I was looking for in that relationship. And I still have that with, like, Christopher. Like, I mean, he's still, even though we're, like, we're only 3 years apart, but it's, like, you know.
Oh, he's very caring.
He is.
The one of the things that came up again and again in our Whisper messages was that it had to do with experience. People were looking for someone, or they would date someone older because there's more experience there, more of a guiding hand.
Experience
apparently, also,
they
taste better, so we... I wasn't sure what was meant by that, but
what?
Yeah, no, that came up.
It's
I
what
asked
you
them
eat.
To elaborate.
You are what you eat.
You are what you eat. Pineapples. That's all I have to say.
A diet of,
that actually turns
papaya.
Out to be a myth.
Oh. Really?
No,
no, I don't think so. I've tried
it. If you eat asparagus and smelly foods like that, you definitely have a
pineapple and bananas, man.
Anyway, on that note, what's the pressure? Belgium's entry from Laura to Cyril.
Yes.
Why did you choose this one? For 10 points?
For 10 points.
10 points.
It's actually, this is a good solid pop song. But it has strengths and weaknesses. The weakness is that I don't know if you're aware of Alphabeat, which is a Danish band. But they decided quite explicitly that they were going to make the world's most perfect pop songs. Don't look them up. We'll play them on another episode.
Well, I was just going to put a tiny clip in.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I'm doing it anyway.
Do it.
This is what Alphabeat sounds like.
Sounds like the 70s.
It does.
Why would you just play a 5-second clip of something?
Just so they get the idea of what
you're
sounding.
Talking about.
Yeah,
it's supporting you.
Anyway.
It's supporting you.
So this song is a perfect pop song, but because it's perfect, it has no edges to catch on to. So it's kind of in one ear out the other. Like, you'll love it while it's playing, but an hour from now, you'll probably forget it.
Yeah.
But it's super radio friendly. Mm-hmm. And that's why I chose it for 10 points, because it is incredibly radio friendly.
10 points?
Not 10 points.
Anyway, we'll be back just after this. Don't ask me why the sun is shining. Long after the day is done, the evening falls, the bright lights bring out the best in me. I see massive walls weighing down the people all around, but they don't seem to mind at all. And I will try to stand my ground, won't be bound, and bring out the best in me. What's the pressure? Don't ask me why the sun is shining. Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media. That was Laura Tessero's What's the Pressure. What a great song.
You see what I mean, though? It's a perfect pop song.
Yes,
right.
And you're right.
And I've already forgotten it.
I just know it was like...
But while it was playing, it was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how it goes now, though.
I can. Only
Well, no, he's right. It is forgettable, but it's good.
Down.
Sorry.
I like it. Now, actually, I was just saying to Sebastian
during the break,
that somebody on Whisper actually sent us a Quran quote.
Oh.
Which was beautiful. But I'm having trouble finding. We had a lot of messages on.
Well, that's good.
That's interesting that we had a lot of.
That's
messages.
A good story.
Yeah, I know. Because I didn't think anyone
sure
was listening.
A different take. Sure, is it a different take when you're 18 to 20?
Oh, here we
38
go. Here we go.
For sure.
So all we got sent was, have they not traveled in the land, and have they hearts wherewith to feel and ears wherewith to hear? For indeed, it is not the eyes that grow blind, but it is the hearts which are within the bosoms that grow blind. And I was like, that is beautiful. What a beautiful quote.
It is, but what's it mean?
How is it relevant to this? Like, I don't...
Let's say this again. Yeah. We need to rip this apart. Yeah. Come on,
We're not going to deconstruct a Quran quote. I'm drawing a line on that one.
It is beautiful,
okay,
but
no,
I'm
it's
saying...
it's beautiful, but I need to hear it and maybe read
I got yeah. The sense that I got was that people grow weary as they grow older. They don't lose their ability to see beauty. They just lose their ability to perhaps
appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, there we go.
Well, older men don't seem to lose the
art
of appreciating
beauty.
They don't seem to lose that.
Because I mean, there's something to be. I mean, what I'm hearing from some of the younger folks on here, Whisper had a picture of Helen Mirren, so we got a lot of.
She's old though. I mean,
yeah,
like
we
really
got some unnecessary comments. But some of the things I picked up on was she's old.
Okay, get over it. Sorry.
People...
Well, we don't even know what he's talking
about.
A lot
of young guys really liked older women. Someone said...
MILFs.
For the curves and the experience. Mm-hmm. Another one said... Well, the question was, you know, would you date an older generation? And someone replied, do they like fishing?
Fishing for what? Tadpoles?
Just in general.
I like that question.
That's actually cute.
That's the best response we had.
Actually,
do they...
You know what?
Would you date
sweet.
Someone older? Do they like fishing?
Well, right. That's good.
Yeah,
that's nice.
What more do you need?
Yeah. Exactly.
And fly fishing. So it's... Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Specifically fly fishing?
No, I mean... I'm just saying in general.
We don't have a lot of shallow rivers in Ontario.
This is true.
Yeah.
Anyways, we digress.
I think we're talking about shallow rivers, aren't we? I regress.
So before the break, we were talking. I
love you.
Let you know that we'll be discussing about gay male culture because we are a GLBT talk show. So we're going to rein it in. Ladies, you may... not feel as into this conversation.
I'm quite curious if this follows through to
so
the
we have to look at gay culture is affected by history. Our history has kind of created who we are and how we interact.
Yeah.
And very sadly, a major part of that was the AIDS epidemic that effectively wiped out a generation of gay men.
You're right.
And partly wiped out the generation above that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely.
So it's basically two generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But why is this important in terms of intergenerational dating? Well, the reason is that it used to be the case that if you wanted to know about being out in the gay community, you couldn't put on Grindr and find out or Google it. You know, it was a case of you'd find a slightly older gay man who's been out a bit longer than you have. They'll take you under their wing, show you the ropes, as it were. Mm-hmm. You know, don't have sex with him. He's got herpes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That kind of...
Teach you Polari if you're
you
British.
Teach you Polari, yep. If you need to get their number, that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Ducky.
anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so a lot of that was intergenerational, but it was very much a community building.
And was
piece.
It a protection thing in most cases?
It was, in most cases.
And as well, you know, chosen family, and as I said earlier, that some people are looking for protection and affection from sort of a father figure trying to replace their disappointment in their own family. Mm-hmm. It can happen.
Mm-hmm. But the problem with the AIDS epidemic is that it wiped out a generation, and those who were left, it put the fear of God into them.
Oh, yes.
In such a way that you wouldn't want... There was... someone said to me once that those who survived the AIDS epidemic were either very lucky or very boring. So yeah. That's who made it.
Some of my friends were very lucky, I would think.
But there's also the issue that there was an entire generation, being the sort of younger edge of Generation X, where dating an older generation kind of didn't exist mm-hmm. as an option mm-hmm. because they were gone. Mm-hmm. And this generation are now sort of their late 30s to late 40s, and the sort of birth of the muscle daddy as a fetish within the gay community, it's not a coincidence that it's happening at the same time as the first generation to survive the AIDS epidemic growing into that demographic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It also occurred to me some time ago that if you go back to sort of the late 90s, early 2000s, and you look at all the free gay rags, so Fab Magazine, Extra, that sort of thing, they always showed like smooth, shaved, beautiful twinks
like
in
their
20s.
Hairy leather.
And then sort of late 2000s, you know, 2010-ish, you started seeing a lot of pictures of like muscular guys with scruff and tattoos and kind of athletic looking. And now you're seeing a lot of muscle daddies in the gay media. Mm-hmm. And in each case, it is the oldest living generation to survive HIV in their prime. So in 2000, it would have been people in their mid-20s. Mm-hmm. And so you get a lot of beautiful people in their mid-20s. And mm-hmm. you have this leading edge of, like, the new generations coming through.
Of the pretties.
Of the pretties.
Right.
And so now intergenerational dating is sort of entering the gay community again because it's possible.
Right.
And
right.
it wasn't before.
Right.
And so now it's become kind of, I don't know, sort of a point of interest.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's happening now because it's possible now. I mean, that is certainly an element. But the point
is, it's more possible. It's not that it wasn't possible. It's just
numbers games.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. Yeah.
One of the points that I was trying to make was that there is a very strong and rich history of taking someone under their wing and seeking out someone older for guidance mm-hmm. And community and so on and so forth. So there's a very old and strong history of that kind of community building in the gay community that fed into a lot of
intergenerational. Don't you think that's a very it's just a very caring nature, I guess, and I see going from let's just say my friends in the fetish community are more in the leather community, so we have lots of leather daddies, and they
yeah.
have their family. Mm-hmm. And does a gay man get his ego stroked in the same way as a heterosexual man would be for dating somebody much younger?
I don't know, because this is one of those
curious.
Things where because I'm open-minded mm-hmm. to dating somebody in their young 20s. Mm-hmm. It's not something I pursue. Mm-hmm. I would rather date somebody closer to my own age, mm-hmm. But I'm open-minded. And right. so, like, this is one of the reasons why I wish on dating sites they actually had two ranges for things, like mm-hmm. your preferred age range and then what are you open-minded mm-hmm. to. Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic mm-hmm. if they could actually do that. But and I've sent emails to the mm-hmm. people who run these things as well. No one listens. Anyway, and
Dear Grindr.
Please put your primary, secondary, and tertiary market in.
I'm not even joking.
No, absolutely. You're right. No, I agree with you.
But a lot of my friends, except for one or two of them, they treat it like some kind of a bizarre, like something is wrong with you if you're not dating somebody your own age.
Oh,
and
really?
So as much as like I'm not against the idea, and again, as I said, these days the only people who hit on me are 20 or so.
But you also look younger than your age, too.
And it's also because of the environment you're in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
your university. Like,
if you were a 40-year-old guy cruising around the university trying to pick somebody up, would you think that's a little different than
yeah,
the fact
probably.
That you're
well,
here? Yeah.
I don't know. One of the things that I've always been hesitant
like,
of.
Your question about, like, what does the older guy get out of it? Well, quite often nothing. Like, you're treated as icky.
Yeah.
Like, you're treated as...
Yeah, actually, I have to say, sorry to interrupt you, but Michael and I, when we were dating, he had a hard time with us going out in public. Like, he was worried about it, because he was like, you know, I don't want people to look at me a funny way
like
or whatever.
Like a predator?
Yeah.
Like, I would want to hold his hand, I'd want to, you know, and he was like, you know, he's like, people are looking at us. Like, he would, you know...
It would bother him.
It would bother him. In some cases, he's like, hey, I want to show you off to my friends. Mm. You know, so his, like, you know... So it was a couple... Yeah. It was different, but in like
Yeah.
He didn't like PDA, that's for sure. Mm.
In the gay community, the other element, and I'm sure you're familiar with the term baby gay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot, you know, when someone's, it used to be, and I think
help
that,
me with baby gay, please.
And I'm in the midst of it. Okay. So it used to, and I think there's a generational difference now. I think that Jake, for example, who's 5 years younger than me, wouldn't have had this baby gay period.
Yeah.
Whereas my generation did. And that is someone who, when you're coming out, you're learning how to be gay. So they usually become extreme versions of gay. Like, yeah. they're extremely effeminate, and they're having a fabulous time. And it's just like, it's
everything's
so much.
Rainbow.
Yeah.
Right.
And they also
realize you don't need to identify.
They also like they see oppression everywhere, even when you're like.
But
no,
that's
no, no,
all
no.
young people.
No, I know.
But there's more than that. In terms of sexual encounters with someone who's newly coming out, the manner of homosexual intercourse is such that there needs to be a degree of before care and after care. So there is. It is a commitment to take on someone who is a baby gay, in that they're newly out of the closet. And by baby gay, I mean like 17, 18, 19. Like, that's... Yeah.
And you have to take care of those.
If you're from the countryside and you move to the city. And
you could be baby gay at 25, maybe.
You could, at 60 almost. Sure. Yeah. When you first come out of the closet, there's this kind of new exploration that happens.
Yes.
So in the gay community, there is that element there that perhaps, you know... I don't think I would ever have the patience again to kind of walk somebody through that process.
And not only that, but you have to spend a lot of time. And this is very much a modern issue. This is not something that used to exist as a problem. But you also probably have to spend a few months, up to a year, retraining them as to what sex looks like, because all they know is porn, which is not
no
real.
No kidding. What a...
I know.
What a,
and teaching them, like, okay...
I still have...
What you're seeing looks nice, but that's a once-a-month thing. Like, the kind of day-to-day intercourse that two men usually have is...
But even I found that for myself as well. Like, I would do things and he'd be like, you know, like, don't do that. That's like, that's just like, that's stuff that they do in porn. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that,
I have to say, like, because I'm not a very, I don't have a lot of, you know.
You weren't overly worldly. Yeah. See, I was worldly at 12.
I still am not really.
See, older men and the fact that I was worldly at 12, if you could just put that together. Yeah. So it is definitely, as I'm getting older, I'm like, ew.
We're going to come to your closing thoughts on this just after this. I'm sure that I don't think we can close.
No, I feel like we just got started here.
Yeah, I know, right?
But this is Zoe. It's a French song, actually. It's
from Austria,
which
a lot of people thought was weird. It's Zoe, Loin d'ici. And this is the song that I... No, it starts right away. You don't have to let it roll.
Oh, okay.
No work necessary.
This song is the one that I reacted to the most strongly when we were watching, if you remember
this. I thought Russia was better, but okay.
No, but this is the one where I was like freaking out.
Okay.
We don't need lube.
So and now that I've listened to it a few dozen more times, it occurred to me this song sounds like the kind of music that plays during the closing credits of a female demographic anime.
Oh.
Like, it sounds like something they would play during Sailor Moon.
Oh, okay.
And it's absolutely charming. I love it.
Charming.
We'll be back just after this.
Let's hear Charming. Je suis. Et quand tu voles, oui, moi je vole aussi. Si tu t'élances, je te suis. Dans un pays loin d'ici, à la recherche du paradis. Dans un pays loin d'ici, on chante, on chante.
Je suis dans un pays loin d'ici, à la
cherche paradis dans un pays. Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's great media. That was Zoe, and what a beautiful song. What a truly beautiful song.
That was fun and beautiful.
Very Sailor Moon.
You're right, it is.
No, it was. That's all I could think about.
Dude. So this has been quite a wide-ranging conversation around intergenerational.
And we never even touched on the idea that for both gay men and lesbians, that generational differences is a stand-in for gender differences.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's a whole conversation.
Do you
want to
elaborate briefly on that?
Very briefly.
Where that's a whole other key.
That's a whole other show.
But you know what I'm saying, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, in a lot of intergenerational relationships, I don't want to say one is the man and one is the woman, because that is not what is going
on. One is dominant and one is generally...
Or just one is a bit stronger.
One's a little bit more in certain places.
Yeah, for sure.
Submissive.
Or they'll take on certain roles. So, like, I couldn't help but notice that Jake does most of the housework.
He does. He is... I really lucked out there.
And you are the breadwinner as well.
It's true. I go to work every day. Yeah.
So there are... And it's not something that shows up on purpose. I don't think people are consciously saying, like, I am 20. I want to be the woman for an older man.
And I certainly did not tell him to go into the kitchen. So that's,
No, but I think it's strange sometimes when there's, like, my partner in life stays home and takes care of the house and the dogs and everything that we have together. And the household runs because he's willing to get behind me as a partner and say, okay, well, this is what you need. And I'm a breadwinner. So that just happens to be, it just happens to be the way things went.
Right.
Would I mind if he went out to work tomorrow and his artwork started doing $1 million commissions? Not at all. Mm. I would be happy to sit back and let him go make some money. But the reality is that's where it is. So he takes the support role of me who runs out and has to take on the world that way. And that's a beautiful balance, you know, but that's very difficult for most men to do with a woman. Now, I don't know about male on male.
Yeah. And it's this weird sort of idea that sometimes some kind of an asymmetry can be good for a relationship. So long as people understand what their position is within that asymmetry. Now, that said, I would rather have someone who's an equal, a partner, where it's, you know, trade, even Stevens.
But does that mean talking monetarily? Because there's something that I had to really struggle with, because I grew up in generation, you should have a partner that goes to work and you stay home and have kids.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's what I grew up in. Mm-hmm. Not expecting, but it's expect what my parents expected from me anyways. So to have kind of broken that in my generation, which totally is a few years behind you guys, I really have had to face social barriers and jump over those things regarding myself as a strong, very dominant character who happens to be the breadwinner. And my character, or my partner, he's exceptionally strong as well.
Yeah.
So there's no weakness there. It's just that I happen to monetarily make more money than he does.
I guess it's the difference between division of labor and sharing of labor.
Yes, yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that absolutely. Some people prefer sharing labor, but when you get into a generational difference, like, division of labor seems more obvious. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's the equivalent to gender differences, that you tend to have a different division where things are not completely shared, but more separated and divided. And not in a one is better than the other kind of a way. So, I mean, like, one of my favorite things for... There's one Australian culture, I cannot remember who they... The Djibouti, I think they are, where... No, Djibouti's something else. No, that's a country in Africa. What am I talking about?
Yeah, I was wondering why you were talking about
that. It's Djerbal. It's the Djerbal people, where... Women are forbidden from cooking, but men are forbidden from cooking, but women are forbidden from hunting. So the men catch the meat, but they're not allowed to prepare it.
Okay.
Would get sick if they did. If
honestly,
they
any man I've ever lived with, I didn't want him to cook the meat either, but so that's just been happening.
They have these little divisions where, like, they're interreliant, where, like, they sort of lock together, where if you just did your thing without the other person helping you, you would be screwed.
And that's the same, I believe, in any good relationship.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really matter who brings what to the table as long as it's shared, right? So I guess that brings us back to what kind of things can you share at the table when you've got one person who's in a different spot?
So you have one person who has experience but could be jaded.
Right.
And you have the other person who's way more optimistic and outgoing.
And could be taken advantage of.
Could be taken advantage of, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
Or maybe
not. Just nurtured and loved.
Yeah.
And that's good too.
So you can have these asymmetries that work because they're dividing something that needs doing instead of sharing, which is what you would probably get among peers.
I think it falls down to one of the biggest mantras of our show, which is really, and I think whenever we have these episodes, it always boils down to communication.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to each other, communicate, you know, express your needs and your desires and navigate and negotiate that.
And whatever it is that you're doing, so long as everybody understands what the situation is and is okay with it.
That's right.
Even if it is just, I'm 45 muscle daddy and I'm having sex with a skinny little beautiful 20-year-old, but we know that that's what it is.
That's all that it is, which is to me.
But I mean, what we were saying though is like, yes, I was okay with it, but you were still saying, you know,
I was okay with it when I was 20.
That's
I guess
it.
It's funny.
It's funny.
Like, yeah,
you're
I
right.
look back. I'm
so
a mom
long as
now.
You're all on the same page. So long as you know what's going on.
I'd like
on.
To see you within a decade or so.
Right.
That's good. That's good. Good. 15 years. I don't know. Start getting 20 plus. I got to start wondering.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's not for us to judge.
Right.
So.
But also, that's not for us to discuss because we've run out of time.
We have.
Aww.
We have. That was all from this week's episode of the Velvet Studio. And we are playing out with Bulgaria's submission,
yes.
who had
Polyjanova.
7 points, I think you gave these guys.
Yes.
Why did you choose Polyjanova?
Well, this was the hologram lady, we called her.
Oh, yeah.
Because she had this really cool outfit that glowed and everything. Her voice sounds like it splits the difference between Kate Bush and Robin, who already sound like each other anyway.
Oh, so cool. I want to hear this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, it's Robin. It's not Robin. It's Bulgarian Robin.
Right,
so
yes, we'll be back next week. This is Polyjanova.
Thanks for listening.
You and I, we collide like the stars on a summer night. We can shine forever. What is right, we can run like never. If love was a crime, then we would be criminals, locked up for life, but I'll do the time. If love was a crime, then we would work miracles high above the ground. They will never break us down. So we change for better. Unafraid, never fade. When it's dark, we illuminate.